And doing well now, all the way up to chapter 22. We like to keep messages Christ-centered, and there's no better way than obviously preaching through one of the Gospels to do that. But looking now in Luke chapter 22, and I can pretty much make this prediction, make this guarantee, that we will finish the book of Luke sometime in 2014. And I'm very confident in that. Amen. So, and then after that, we'll see what the Lord would have for us. Isn't it good to know this is just one of only 66 books? And at the rate I'm going right now, that it will take me approximately, from what I figured, about another 23 years to finish going through all the rest of the books of the Bible. So, and by then, I guess if we repeated it, that would be repeating the same message once every 27 years. That wouldn't be too bad. So, all right. Luke chapter 22, and we've seen now as the Lord has been in the garden with his disciples, praying to his Father. And we're picking it up now, the scene here in chapter 22, in verse 47. And while he yet spake, what's he speaking? What's he saying? Look at verse 46. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. He's warning them about being tempted. And while he's doing that, what's happening? The temptation's coming. Here it comes. Verse 47. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Now, it's interesting that for these Pharisees and for the guards, for all of them to have Jesus Christ arrested, they had to have someone there to identify the Lord. This idea of Hollywood, where Jesus is walking around in flowing robes and blonde red hair and blue eyes and all. Listen, Jesus Christ was a Jew of the Jews. Jesus Christ blended right in with all the other apostles and disciples, from tax collectors to commercial fishermen, lived his life growing up as a carpenter. Jesus Christ just blended in with the crowd, man. The Bible says there was no beauty that we should desire him. He was just an average-looking Joe is all he was. Amen? But Judas, one of the 12, has now covenanted with the Pharisees, with the religious leadership of Israel, to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, to basically go up to him and put a knife in his back, as it were. Amen? And when he's going to do this thing, this is that Judas who was with the Lord Jesus Christ during his 3.5-year ministry, who had benefited greatly by it, who was now given a position of leadership in God's first church as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was given abilities and gifts by the Lord to be able to perform miracles and do the things that all of those apostles had the ability and the power and the miracle to do. And after all that, and after all the words that he had heard from Jesus Christ and all that the Lord had done in his ministry during those 3.5 years, now Judas turns around and he's going to betray his leader. He's going to betray his Savior. He's going to betray his God. And when he does it, how does he do it? He does it with a kiss. Love share care love. Say, what is that? I'm imitating the son of perdition. Look in Psalm 55. This is him. Psalm 55. Here's Judas. Psalm 55. What does the Bible have to say about him? Jesus said, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? How did the devil betray the Son of God? Not with a smack, not with a punch, not with a kick, not with cussing, with a kiss. Psalm 55, look with me here, Psalm 55 and verse 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked in the house of God in company. How about that? What does it say about him? Verse 20. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. That's the Antichrist. That's who Judas is. Verse 21. The words of his mouth were what? Smoother than butter, love, share, care. I love Jesus. But war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, but there were drawn swords. First chance he gets, buddy. You know, the Bible has never warned you about sheep dressed in wolves' clothing. But it does warn you about wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. Why, I think that is. Now, you know what we're talking about here? The title of this message this morning is The Kiss of Death. Here it is, 3 a.m. It's 3 a.m. about the time these soldiers have shown up in the garden. Been praying all night. The Lord with his disciples. They're going to come and get him, and a couple hours later, what's going to happen? The cock's going to crow. You understand what it is? That whole last day and a half of Jesus Christ's life, he never slept. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. That's how he started his ministry. That's how he ends his ministry. And during this whole time, he's been praying. He's been praying for his disciples. He's been praying to the Father. And here comes Judas with a kiss, a smooth talker. He liked to talk about love. He liked to talk about peace. He liked to talk about unity and sharing and caring. I had a Christian recently ask me in the office where I work, they said, are you spirit-filled? And I said, oh, yes, I am. Oh, you mean you have the original evidence of speaking in tongues? I said, oh, no, I don't. And they just had this puzzled look on their face. I said, no, I have the initial evidence of boldness. And then quoted some scripture to them, which they weren't even aware of. And then a strange thing. And you know what happened? You're not going to believe this. That person, from being like this and happy and everything else, after I said that, they were just like they hated me. What happened to the love? I told them I was spirit-filled. You'd think they'd be happy. Isn't that a strange thing? These people want to act like they're spirit-filled and talk about the fruit of the Spirit. But, buddy, all you have to do is kick them one time and just watch the gears all fall out of the clutch plate and watch the veneer come off and find out what a phony they really are, buddy, right there. All that love, love, love. Huh? Spirit-filled, right? That's one of the evidences of being spirit-filled is love. Being able to love somebody that don't love you back. Amen. Try that one on. And so the title of the message this morning is The Kiss of Death. You ever hear that expression? Oh, that'll be the kiss of death on you. They give that expression, the kiss of death. And basically, in the expression of terms, it just means the ending of something. See? The kiss of death for a politician or for a preacher. The kiss of death used to be divorce or adultery. If a politician was divorced, or if a politician was caught in an adulterous affair, their careers were done. If a preacher was caught in divorce, if a preacher was caught in an adulterous affair, his ministry was over. Not anymore. Now they just sweep it under the rug and go on and act like nothing happened. Oh, it's no big deal. Funny stuff, you know. There's a preacher out there, and he's a good preacher. But he's been divorced a couple of times. And now lately he's been, I mean, this is the latest scuttlebutt on the internet and all that. He's dating a 19-year-old. Looking back, and he's still preaching in the church. Not the church he started out in. They had enough sense to get rid of him. But he's still preaching in churches. He still gets invited to preach in other churches. And right now he's courting a 19-year-old, and the guy's my age. And Christians today, they don't think it's any big. Well, he's a good preacher. So? See? Politicians, they used to not be able to get into office because of their morals. They were expected to be decent people of character. Not anymore. But that used to be what they would call the kiss of death. Gangsters, you know, they had a kiss of death. And the idea was, listen, one of the dons, you know, Giovanni or whatever, he would take you and then he'd come up and kiss you. You know what that was? That was a signal for somebody else to take a hit out on you. That's what it was. See, what is a kiss of death? Kiss of death, as it is. You hear that term, the kiss of death, kiss. They sign letters now, and they sign them, instead of saying kiss, what do? They put an X. Kisses and hugs. O's are hugs, and X's are kisses. X is a kiss, really? X is a kiss? X is from hex. That's a bad thing. That's a curse. Why would you mark kisses with the sign of a curse? Isn't that a weird thing? See, that's what we're talking about. That's the kiss of death. But literally the term comes from this event right here, where Judas kissed the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the term originally comes from. They would use that term, kiss of death, when it came to a snake bite. Cleopatra, when she puts her hand into those asps, that was the kiss of death. You know what that snake did? That snake kissed her. And what was the result? Death. You know what Satan did to Adam and Eve in the garden? The serpent? You know what he did? He kissed them. You know what the result's been for 6,000 years? Death. That's the devil. You see how he worked? When he worked with Adam and Eve, he wasn't scaring and yelling at them and running. He was loving them. He was letting them know how mean God was and how much nicer he was, because he really cared about them. See, that's what young people want today. They want parents that'll just be nice and that'll share and cope with them and use psychotherapy on them and just whisper sweet nothings into their. They don't want parents that are going to whoop them. They don't want parents that are going to yell at them. They don't want parents like they deserve better than that. Yeah, you read that Bible about there is a generation. Amen. We're in that generation. And those parents that want to be your buddy instead of being your parents don't love you. Amen. Amen, amen. They don't love you. Well, they're just such nice guys. They're just so cool. And they don't love you. You'll find that out one day. Amen. It's the parents that you can't stand and hate their guts right now. Those will be the ones you thank God later on when you get some sense. And that'll be about when you're 30. Amen. Amen. That's the truth. You need to work on that, because the idea is this whole thing of, oh, he's just so nice and he's just so loving. And that was Judas. So what was it? It was a kiss of death. All that love, all that fakeness. That's what that whole thing is. It was a betrayal. Now, why did Judas do it? He had his reasons. After all, Judas deserved to do it. If you had asked Judas about it, Judas could have been right in there and explained right to you why he did the things that he did. After all, even though he had been 3.5 years with Jesus Christ, even though the Lord had given him things and helped him and ministered to him those 3.5 years, I mean, the Lord did him wrong. Look there in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And so he had every right to do what he did to Jesus. He had every right to get mad. If you'd asked him, look here in John chapter 12 and verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Look at this. This is where the thing's coming. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Judas Iscariot sees Mary taking this very expensive ointment and wasting it, as far as he's concerned, on the Lord Jesus Christ, when it could have been sold and that money could have been used for other things. See? And you're going to find in churches a lot of times, some Christian will be with you until it comes to something about money in the church. And when that thing with money, well, I don't think that's the right way. I think you're wasting it, and I think it would have been better. Right there is where you'll lose them. That's where the Lord lost Judas. Right on that issue. Right there. Isn't that an amazing thing? And look what happens here. Verse 6. This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Amen. He didn't care at all. He was putting on a facade the whole time. All he was interested in was himself and lying in his own billfold. That's what it came down to. Verse 7, then said Jesus, let her alone. Now he's saying that to who? Huh? He's saying that to Judas. Where? In front of everybody else. Well, Judas didn't have a problem saying that in front of everybody else. And so the Lord straightens him out right in front of everybody else. And he tells him right there, hey, let her alone. She's done a good work on me. The poor you always have with you, and whenever you can do them good. But me you have not always with her. Against the day of my burial, as you know, and you know the whole story that he goes into. And he's correcting Judas Iscariot in front of all the other disciples right there. Letting him have it. How do you think Judas handles that thing? Look what happens, verse 8. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that it was he, that he was there, and they came not only for Jesus' sake only, but also that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Consulted with who? Judas! Because right after that is when Judas goes to him. Jesus shouldn't have done that. And Judas has a perfect right now to stab Jesus in the back first chance he gets, buddy. He's got a legitimate cause. He's justified in what he's doing. Boy, if I've seen that once, I've seen it 100 times in God's churches. I've seen it. Pitiful thing. Look there in chapter 13. Look at chapter 13. What happens now? Verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. Well, why does he ask John? They're all going around saying, is it I? 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 But nobody thought it was John. Why was that? See? They knew who loved the Lord. You know, the Bible says if a man loved the Lord, same's known of him. Same's known of him. They didn't have to worry about John. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Judas has a pretty big position in Jesus' first church there, doesn't he? I mean, he's responsible for all the logistics, all the money. He's like the deacon or something. He's a big shot here, Judas. But it wasn't enough. Verse 30, he then, receiving the sop, went out immediately, and it was night. It was what? See, Satan enters into him, and here's the darkness, and boom, the rest is history. And what caused the whole event? What started the whole thing? One time when the Lord did something he didn't like. One time, and all of a sudden, boop, that was it, buddy. The kiss of death. Right there. Well, he was justified in it. I'm sure Judas thought that he deserved better. After all, Jesus had hurt Judas's feelings. And that was enough to justify Judas in doing what he was going to do. Amen? And so he loved Jesus. The kiss of death. I'll tell you what right now, you know what you get from that right there? If you get your feelings hurt very easily, you're acting like the Antichrist. How's that? The Bible says, righteous are bold as a lion and nothing shall offend them. You see a guy getting offended and getting his feelings hurt real easy, you know who that was? That was the Antichrist. That was the devil. That's how the devil acts. Amen. And listen, you're going to minister to people. You're going to help people. You're going to try to be a blessing to people. You know what's going to happen sooner or later? You're going to get kissed. You're going to get kissed. Oh, Brother Ray, we love you. Man, amen. You help out enough people, the kiss of death is going to come your way. Oh, we just love you, Pastor. Oh, never man spake like this man. Oh, I've learned more Bible in 1 month than I have in years, and it's just so good to be here. And thank God for a man of God who tells the truth. I've heard it. I get nervous whenever I hear that stuff anymore. I do. I just get nervous. Amen. I mean it. I've heard that stuff so much, and boy, they want to just tell you how wonderful they think you are, and everything, until the first time you do something they don't like. And then they want to kiss you. Kiss of death. One decision they don't like. One thing you say they don't like. And some of you are aware of the situation, some of you are not. We had a fellow here one time. And he didn't like the fact that I wanted to start a ministry in this church that he disagreed with. And then he really got mad when I wouldn't give him my pulpit to tell all the church why they should go with him instead of me. And then he decided to call me leave what would be termed in the nicest terms a very unkind voicemail. At which point I just called the fellow and I said, listen, brother, I'm praying for you. And I'm hoping that you can find a pastor that you can be an honor and a blessing to. Because obviously it's not me. And so I'm wishing you the best. And his response to that was, what, are you churching me? I said, you take it however you want to take it. But why would you want to come to this church? You've already stated that you have no intentions at all of trying to be a blessing or a help to me. Why would you want to be here? Go somewhere where you can be. That's all. And that fella proceeded for the next 3 or 4 weeks in a row to picket out in front of our church and sent 4 letters to everybody in the church with a list of everything that he thought was wrong with Brother Ray. Now, he never had a list of anything wrong with Brother Ray until after Brother Ray did one thing he didn't like. Then all of a sudden, he was able to find a whole bunch of things that were wrong with Brother Ray that he could never find wrong with Brother Ray before. It was an amazing thing. Say, how does that happen? Just one decision, just one thing they don't like, and you know what? And believe me, that fellow did everything in his power to ruin me, to ruin this church, to totally ruin my ministry. Lord knows. You know what I did to him? Told him to go find another church. That's all he did. And I meant it. And I was hoping he would and that he'd have the Lord bless him and use him. It just wasn't going to be here. Well, Brother Ray, I just don't think that was right for... Well, that's your business. Take it up with the Lord. I've had him come in here. I've had him work, buddy, in the church. I had one big mouth woman in this church. Big mouth. Big mouth. I mean, tongue from here to the wall and back. Okay? This woman was working with a fellow that used to have a ministry in our church. And they worked this thing out because I had a dear lady in our church whose husband had passed. And so her son and daughter-in-law and their family started coming to our church. But see, this lady's son, who was a preacher, was also accused of being involved in one time in a homosexual relationship. And so here I am with this dear lady that's been a member of our church, right? And then I have this lady here who's trying to encourage me to have this other couple become members of our church. But the whole time she's working with this fellow over here, and he's going around telling the pastors of all the other churches that Brother Ray's trying to get homosexuals to join his church. How'd you like to be there? Now, what are you going to do? Hurt mama's feelings? Hurt? Try to get out of that one. You talk about having to pray, buddy. Set that whole thing up. And you know what they're doing the whole time? Oh, Brother Ray, we just love you. Been there. I'm telling you right now, you're going to minister to people, you're going to help people, and you're going to go out of your way to try to be a blessing. Count on it. I like what Brother Skipper said. That was true. He prayed and he asked the Lord to use him. Lord, please use me. Please use me. And the Lord sent somebody by to use him. And if that's what you're in the ministry for, you're going to be disappointed. Amen. So what is that? It's the kiss of death. Is what it is. I had one couple, this was before the first blow-up we ever had in our church here. We had one older couple, they had us over the house for chicken dinner and put it all on for us. And here, I thought they really liked us. Come to find out, they were just trying to get information to help with their list that they were putting together against Brother Ray. Man, I'll tell you what, I've seen it. It's something. Listen, for me, if you don't like someone, if you have a problem with someone, you go to them, you get it worked out. But this whole just acting all spiritual and loving and all kind, and the whole time you're planning on shoving a knife in somebody. If you can't shove a knife when you're looking at them, don't do it. Amen. Get some character. I love you. Oh, we just love our pastor. You know, I get nervous when I hear that anymore. Amen. I know some people are gonna, like Brother Ray's got a complex or something. Listen, this ain't me. I'm talking about anybody. Talk to Jesse Smith. Talk to James Knox. You want to talk about a gracious man, Brother James Knox. Be surprised some of the things that have happened to him. Brother Jonathan Dawes. Anybody remember Brother Dawes? Jonathan Dawes? How about Brother McFadden? Oh, he just got it. You talk about a friendly, joyous guy, man. That's it, huh? Brother McFadden? You wouldn't think people would treat him like that. I mean, you'd probably look at me and say, well, he probably deserved it. Okay. But I'm talking about guys here that, you know, just sweet guys, man. And that stuff happens too. That's rough. You got some pastors, they're walking on eggshells because they're afraid of upsetting Judas. And that's probably my biggest flaw, if you want to consider it a flaw, is I have no intentions on not frustrating or getting under the skin of a Judas. I'd much prefer just getting right in his face and kicking his teeth in. Amen. That's just me. I'm more like a Peter. Give me the sword and I'll cut his ear off. Amen. Yeah. But the idea is you got pastors out there, they're all afraid what they're going to do, and this deacon's going to do that, or that family's going to do that, and what happens? And they're living their ministries. You can't do that. The Lord didn't do that. Amen. If somebody's going to do that to you and give you the kiss of death, they're just going to do it. Otherwise, then you're just going to know that they control you. Then what do you got? I don't want to get into the position where, oh, no, I don't want to offend Judas. You know, I had one fellow, I hadn't been here that long, and they wanted to join the church, and he said, well, you know, Brother Ray, I'm just telling you right now, come Sundays during hunting season, I ain't going to be there because, you know, hunting, I got to be hunting. I said, well, that ain't right. That's an idol. And he didn't appreciate that. Got all upset, and they started coming, wouldn't come to the church and all that. Well, I was telling them the truth. See? Wouldn't you rather have somebody that's going to tell you the truth? You know what Paul said? Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And for some people, yeah, you love them enough to tell them the truth, and then they want to get mad at you and kiss you. First chance they get, the kiss of death. And this thing works both ways. I've known pastors, I've known ministers, youth pastors, whatever. They just loved this man and his wife. Well, come to find out, actually, they just loved the man's wife. Seen that one. Amen. Oh, yes, I just love my congregation. And then go take some fella's wife. You wicked devil. Love, kiss of death. That's all that is. That ain't love. Look in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We're living in an era, brethren, of love talk, love talk, love talk. We ought to be more interested in our love walk than our love talk. Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. How about that? How about that? In other words, don't talk about it, show it. Demonstrate it. Oh, I just love the Bible. You ever hear that one? I just love the Bible. And you start talking to them a little bit about the Bible. And this is somebody that supposedly had been saved for years, and they couldn't find Ezra with a flashlight. But they love the Bible. You don't love the Bible. If you love the Bible, I couldn't keep you from that thing. You'd know it inside and out and upside down. See? The reason you don't know that Bible and know what's in it is because you don't love it. The reason the only time you read it is when somebody makes you feel bad because you're not reading it is because you don't love it. If you loved it, nobody would have to twist your arm to read it. And if you loved it, others would know you'd love it because that's all your heart and mind and mouth would be filled with. Love the Bible. You love it and you're not going to do what it says? Kiss of death. And you show them, hey, look how these new versions are attacking the Bible. Look how they're taking verses out. Oh, I don't see the big deal. And you love the Bible? How would you like it if somebody was taking your wife and started cutting her fingers off? Well, I guess if that's what you prefer. What? They start taking verses and cutting your Bible up? And you think it's okay? You don't love that book. I just love. Mm-hmm. You find out. You find that's like a bunch of these teenagers, you know, they get their love, little love romances going on. That thing lasts about 4 months, 6 months. Next thing you know, they hate each other's guts, buddy. You find all about that love, love, love. You don't know what love is. Okay? You know what your problem is? You know what my problem is? It's a love problem. And you know what the problem is? We all love ourselves too much and others not enough. Amen. Don't look around to somebody else. I'm talking about you. That's our problem. It's a love problem. You can talk about love all you want. Where you demonstrate it? You're gonna hold up this Bible and kiss it? I love the old Bible, the precious old Bible, although I'm not going to ever obey it. And it keeps me so happy, because I have something to put the remote on before I lay down. I love the Bible, but you'll exchange it for an education, a worldly, wicked education for your kid, so they can make more money. Amen. Kiss of death. You love the Bible, but then you yell when somebody's preaching it on the street. Get mad at them. How about it? Isn't this strange? I mean, you look at this event. Look back there. Did you notice that whole time? What had they been doing? Look at it. What had they been doing in the garden all that time? Praying. They're having prayer meeting. When does Judas show up? Afterward, when it's time for business meeting. Isn't that weird? Huh? Isn't that strange? He can't be there for the praying, but buddy, when it's time to make a decision, when it's time to, he's there. Now, we put a stop to that in our church, but I've seen that go on. Boy, that's just wicked as hell. Amen. Somebody, they can't be there for church service, they can't be there for Sunday school, but then they want to make all the decisions. Well, I just want to have an active part in the church. Really? Good. Because you want to sing? You can sing. You want to go on visitation? You can go on visitation. You want to put out scripture signs and you want to go on the street with us? You can. You can go to the detention center. You want to start another ministry? We'll help you. You want to get a nursing home ministry started? We'll help you. You want to have a part in the church? You need to have a part in the church. Oh, that's not what I meant. Yeah, what you meant is you want to make the decisions in the church. Hey, what is that? That's Judas. Because he just loved the Lord. You see, when you expose Satan, this is kind of the meeting you get. Amen. I can see all some of you here, you're just all nervous, like, what's he going to say next or something like that. Listen, what's going on here this morning is darkness is getting exposed. And if you don't like it, there's a reason. And that stuff goes on, listen, that stuff goes on with the meetings and just there for the business meeting. That's the kiss of death on a church. Kiss of death on a church. You have a love for your church. You have a love for Christ. We'll know it. 1 Corinthians 8:3 says, if any man love God, the same is known of him. You shouldn't have to just tell. And listen, there's nothing wrong with saying it. It's okay to say, I love the Lord. David did, and he meant it. Nothing wrong with that. But don't just say it. See? You can love your husband. You can love your wife. You can love your children. But you ought to tell them. But if all you do is tell them, but they don't know it unless you tell them, something's wrong. Amen? Wives, do you want your husband to know that you love him? Do you know how to do it? What's the word he wants? Ladies? What? I had one in the whole church that knew it. What's the word, sister?
Respect.
Respect. Ladies, is all he's asking for. Don't say you love him if you don't respect him, because you don't. You'll never prove your love for that man if you don't respect him. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Give yourself for her. So what is that? Love. Don't just talk about it, do it. I've seen him. Oh, I love you, dear. Close the door. You know where he is that evening? With somebody else. Kisses his wife on the way out the door. But then he's with someone else later on. Or she kisses him goodbye. See you later, sweetie. I love you. And then she's on the phone with another guy. Or on Facebook with another fella. But she loves. Kiss of death to a marriage. How about for lost sinners? You love lost sinners? When it's time for visitation, are you able to make it? Okay, your work camp, that's fine. What are you doing? You got tracks on you? You've been praying for lost family members? What you been doing? You love lost sinners, right? Or are you just talking? When we go down on the street on Saturdays, are you there? We're going to be going down for the parade. You going to come? You going to come? Christmas parade. Everybody be off probably. You going to come? Or you got other things more important? You understand what I'm talking about? The problem is you don't love lost sinners. Just admit it and ask the Lord to give you a love for them. But I'm so tired of this. I love. No, you don't. If you love, show it. Show it. Young people, you love your mom and dad? How do you show it? Do you honor them? Do you? Because that's how you show it. Do you obey them? That's how you'll show it. Sinner? Any lost people here? Never been saved? Could I tell you about the real kiss of death? The real kiss of death is going to happen right when you take your last breath. And the devil's going to come your way. And one more time, he's going to tell you that he loves you, and you don't have to listen to that dumb preacher, and you just live your life the way you want to live it, and he's going to kiss you as he sucks that last breath out of you and takes you to hell. But he loved you. Kiss of death. And how many have walked and gone through this life blinded by the God of this world, who told them those mean preachers and that mean Bible thumper and all that gospel, that you don't need all that, and if they loved you, they wouldn't do that, just as the devil told Adam and Eve about how mean God was, because he wouldn't even let them eat off of that tree. Rip you off of your soul and take you to hell, the whole time kissing you and telling you, nobody understands you like I do. And then you... And your soul drops out of your body, and you fall straight down into hell. And you got kissed. The kiss of death. Well, God's just so mean. My parents are just so mean, and I don't get to have any fun. I know, you'll get to go on, and you turn 18, you go get to live your life, big boy. Let me know how that works out for you, smart guy. You got all figured out, right? You know what you ain't figured out yet? You ain't figured out who really loves you and who doesn't. You'll find out one day. Hopefully it won't be too late. But they just love you. Hey, come with us, man. Yeah, have one of these. Drink one of these. Smoke one of these. Yeah, man. We're your buddies. We're your pals. You got any money? Yeah, sure. Come on. You ever read Proverbs 1? The whole time they're saying, we're for you, and we're part of the crowd, and you're one with us, and yeah, we're going to have a good time, and let's go chase the girls, and they love you, man. They're really thinking about you. They're really for you. They won't even be there at your funeral, knucklehead. And the sad part about all this thing is, that sinner dies. He didn't even realize, you know what Jesus is doing there in the garden? He's taking that kiss so you wouldn't have to. See? That kiss of death came on him so it wouldn't have to come on you when it comes to your soul. Now you're going to follow him. You're going to walk his way. If he got it, you're going to get it. That's all part of it. You know what you do? You keep going, and you live for Jesus. Christian, if this message has bothered you, then that ought to scare you. Because the reason it bothered you is because you're filled with the devil. And if you're a Christian, you're here, it ought to make you want to trust Christ. It ought to wake you up to who it is that really loves you. And he might not have talked a lot about it, but he proved it. Because he went to the cross for you. He took the kiss of death for you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He's proved his love. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We don't have to question the Lord's love. He didn't talk all about it, but he sure proved it. He demonstrated it with his actions. Let's follow him and do the same. Let's stand for prayer.